Have you ever woken up first thing in the morning and said to yourself, I wish I could have a real short summation of what is going on in the world today? What happened yesterday? What are the big news? Well, your prayers have been answered. Yes, it is Christmas morning here because we are going to provide for you every day our daily update. We are going to recap in a very quick fashion, like 2 to 3 minutes, what is going on in the world and especially the world of law. It's going to come out every single day, hopefully around 9 o'clock. Sometimes we get it going a little bit later, a little bit slower in the morning until I've had my coffee. But nonetheless, it's going to be about 9 o'clock in the morning. And to give you an idea of what these updates will sound like, today we are going to play for you all the updates that we have done. Again, they're very short, 2 to 3 minutes each. In addition, if you're saying, well, Joel, I like these, where can I find them? Are in the show notes to today's podcast, you will see links to our Facebook page, to our YouTube page, links to where you can find these daily updates every single day. But also, let's say you don't even do that much work. All right, well, you can obviously subscribe to our YouTube channel. But in addition, we are going to put these on our podcast. So right there on your phone every single day, we are going to download a 2 to 3 minute update on what is going on in the world. We're going to do all this in today's debriefing of the law. Well, welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 3rd, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, today is election day, which means as of tomorrow, no more spam emails and text messages telling me it's not too late to vote. Granted, I will miss my thrice-a-day call from my new best buddy, spam likely. But maybe spam and I can go back to what we used to talk about before the election, you know, extending my car's warranty. Well, here's what I don't want to hear tomorrow. That so-and-so won the popular vote. No, that's not a thing. There is no such thing as a popular vote, so just stop it. That's like saying after your team lost the Super Bowl, yeah, but we had more passing yards than the other team. The contest wasn't about who had the most passing yards, so just stop it. For example, Trump did not campaign in New York or California to get more popular votes because he knew he had no chance of winning those states. Now, if there was such a thing as a popular election, you had better believe he would have campaigned in those states to get as many votes as he could. Word on the street is there is a lot of people in California and New York. On an unrelated note, I was voted sexiest man alive in a national poll yesterday, narrowly beating out Coco, who is my dog, and she's a girl. Granted, my sample size was limited. It was only one, my wife, and it was only myself calling it a national election. And yes, before I secured my wife's vote, I had to agree on her trash taking out policy. Still, nothing misleading about it. I won the national vote. Well, yesterday was Amy Coney Barrett's first day at the U.S. Supreme Court. Big day at the court, as the other justices love to haze the newbie. Now, lest your mind immediately go to some beer-guzzling contest, let me lower your expectations just a bit. You see, hazing done Supreme Court style is making the newbie justice wait until the end to ask her questions of the lawyers during oral argument. Yeah, not exactly gonna replace the beer chug at your local frat house. So apparently all of the good questions were taken and the amazing ACB was left with, so counselor, what is your favorite color? But welcome to the court, ACB, and we are setting the over-under until there is a new Supreme Court chore chart at 10 days. Well, that's our update for today. Until tomorrow, remember the mantra of our Chicago friends, vote early and vote often.
Update number 2.
Welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 4th, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, the election is finally over. Okay, just kidding. Welcome to Groundhog Day Presidential Election Edition. This will never be over. But for those of you still paying attention, And last night was a pretty late night, but now is when the lawyers take over. Yes, if you've ever been involved in a divorce proceeding, you know this is not going to end well for the parties. And unfortunately, here the parties are the American people, right? Someone's losing a trailer, that's all I'm saying. Well, the election in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, too close to call. That means it's time to argue voter intent. Let's go back and take a second look at those ballots to see what the voter was really trying to say. In one Pennsylvania county, a federal judge ruled that the Montgomery County Board of Election Officials needs to stop calling voters, asking them if they want to re-vote. Apparently, some officials were going through the advance of ballots early and were contacting some whose votes were not obvious on the ballot, asking them if they want to try again. So stay tuned. The election 2020 will now be a series on Netflix that you can binge watch. So hey, if you're all done with the Queen's Gambit, looking for another show to watch end on end, check out the election 2020. Many, many more episodes to come. But let's say this election does get decided in short order, and it will. Eventually, we will have a winner. There are many questions that you want answered. For example, once we decide on who the next president is, when do the impeachment proceedings begin? I'm just curious when. So some of you want to go ahead and get this on your calendar. You don't want to miss this, right? Well, you know what? Go ahead and put it down for February 2nd. Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, hopefully the election will soon be behind us, because we do need to get back to what really unifies us as a country, brings us together in harmony. That's right. Hating the Patriots. Well, hey, this just in. MSNBC is now officially calling this election for Hillary Clinton. Good to know. Apparently, they found some votes in the back of a Chevy van down by the river. So, hey, you heard it from me here first. MSNBC is now calling this election for Hillary Clinton. Well, that is the update for November 4th, 2020.
Place to be.
Welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 5th, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, we are on day two, America held hostage. Who will be our next president? Yeah, who knows, right? Any day now, I expect Ryan Seacrest to come on national news and say, dim the lights, Sleepy Joe, you are safe. And you, Orange Julius, pack your bags, you're going home. Or vice versa. I really have no idea. Well, so many of you have questions about these election lawsuits. What can come from these lawsuits? I'll tell you. Anxiety. That's what will come. Stock tip for the day. It's a good time to invest in Xanax. But outside of brushing the pharmacies, not much will come from these lawsuits. We know from Bush v. Gore that local election officials have to have some standard practices to count the votes. You know, is it a hanging Chad, a pregnant Chad? And for that matter, why is Chad getting pregnant anyways? I mean, so you have to have some standards to determine Chad's status. But beyond that, election officials are given wide discretion in counting the votes. So yesterday, the Trump campaign asked the United States Supreme Court to enter the Pennsylvania mail-in balloting case. It's Republican Party of Pennsylvania v. Buchvar. Now, under the state Supreme Court's ruling, election officials had to count all ballots received by November 6th, so 3 days after the election, if the ballots are postmarked by Election Day, or if they lack a postmark, or get this, have a postmark that is unclear. So it's smudged up a little bit. Go ahead, those can be counted. So if a box, let's just say, of 10,000 votes show up without a postmark, you know, like it came right off the printer, then those votes would have to be counted, even if the ink is still a bit wet. So Trump is asking the United States Supreme Court, you know, the court with three justices he just handpicked to weigh in on this issue. Now, can votes be thrown out if fraud is proven? I'll say a very cautious yes, but fraud is next to impossible to prove. Just because 138,000 votes came in after everyone went to bed and all went to one candidate does not mean you throw out those votes, because at the end of the day, all votes look alike. It's hard to tell which 138,000 are which. A court will be very reluctant, outside of out-and-out fraud, to throw out anyone's votes. Bottom line, if you want your candidate to win, he better win the count and do not rely on the courts. Well, that's our update for November 5th, 2020.
Update number 4. All aboard!
Well, welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 9th, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, we have a new president, President-elect Joseph Biden. I will always remember his beautiful, unifying speech, challenging speech to America last weekend when he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for this country." Very timely and challenging words for us today. Though I think I might have heard them before. Well, but in all seriousness, I know politics can get ugly. So to the president-elect Joe Biden, I wish you the best of luck. Now, the Supreme Court will be in session this week on a Tuesday in California v. Texas. The court takes on the Affordable Care Act. You know what I'm talking about, the act that has made health insurance three times as expensive, which does go to show you there are no regulations governing what you put on the name of a bill. Call it whatever you like. The, "Hey, I lost 30 pounds and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger," why not put it on the name of the bill? Well, this is not the first time the court has taken up Obamacare. Do you remember Obamacare 1? That's the case of the phantom tax, where the Chief Justice said that the ACA doesn't mandate you buy insurance. No, it's just a tax. Which I have to confess then, apparently I have no idea what it means to impose a tax on something. Let me see if I got this straight. If you decide to buy the product in question, you know, the insurance, then you don't have to pay the tax. But if you decide, "Yeah, you know what, I really can't afford to buy the insurance right now, it's just not in the monthly budget to wing it," then you have to pay the tax. Let's hope this does not catch on anywhere else. Can you imagine if the car industry gets wind of this? "Sir, I completely understand you can't afford to buy this Honda. Not everyone can. It is the EX luxury line. So all you need to do is pay us the tax for not buying the car, and then you can be on your way." Well, Congress fixed that problem and took out the tax. So now the issue is, well, okay, if it's not a tax anymore, then is it a mandate? Because I thought you said earlier that the government cannot mandate that people engage in commerce. So this clearly is a big issue. Our national healthcare industry will be greatly impacted. Bottom line, don't put off that checkup anytime soon. Better be safe than sorry. Well, that's the update for November 9th, 2020.
Now paging all passengers for update number 5. Update number 5.
Welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 10th, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, today the Supreme Court will hear argument in Texas v. California about whether the Affordable Care Act is constitutional. Do you remember Obama saying, "If you like your health care, you can keep it"? Well, you might just be getting your chance to go back to it. Well, in Obamacare 1, you know, the case involving the phantom tax, a narrow 5-4 majority of the court upheld the ACA by saying it just imposed a tax. And so it is constitutional under the tax and spend clause of the United States Constitution. Trump then became president, and Congress got rid of the tax, to which I had to say, Thank goodness common sense was restored. Let me see if I got this straight. If you couldn't afford to buy the insurance, then you were taxed for not being able to afford it? Yeah, that should fix the problem. Hey, buddy, if you can't afford groceries, you're going to have to pay a tax for being so poor. Hey, sounds like a great plan. But since there's no longer a tax, we are now back to square one. Is the ACA constitutional? Here's the deal. The government cannot force you to engage in commerce, at least based on 200 plus years of interpreting the Constitution. If that counts for anything, that is a power the government does not have. I think there's another word for it. It's called freedom. That's right. Well, you're thinking, but wait, Joel, what about car insurance? Government forces me to buy and purchase car insurance. No, they do not. They do not force you to buy car insurance. In fact, many Americans do not have a car insurance because they don't have a car. And even if you had a car, you don't have to buy car insurance unless you drive on the government-funded roads. You see how they're all connected there? So you do have options, you know, public transport, walking. Hey, I hear the city bike. Great things about the city bike. Whatever gets you there, you do have options. Well, sometimes the court follows the old adage of water under the bridge. Yeah, this law might be unconstitutional, but it's been around for a very long time, like an exhaustive, I think, 10 years. So it's been around an awful long time. It would greatly upset the system to get rid of it now. You know, though the pandemic may also play a role in this decision, but it seems likely that this court will strike down the mandate, which I must admit is pretty flimsy anyways, right? I mean, you are mandated to buy insurance, and if you don't, then nothing is going to happen to you. Not much of a threat. Parents, I do not advise you using this as a disciplinary tool. Hey, Bobby, you had better not throw those peas now, or else nothing's going to happen to you, and I'll make your dad pick it up. All right. It will all come down to severability. That is, can the act stand without the mandate? All this is going to be before the court today, and I'm sure we'll be unpacking these for you tomorrow. Well, that is the update for November 10th, 2020.
Bueller, update number 6. Bueller.
Welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 11th, 2020, and this is what's happening. Well, today is Veterans Day, and the entire nation is celebrating the sacrifices others have made so that we can live in the greatest country that this world has ever seen. And yes, that is still true statistically. Look it up. Our batting average and wins above replacement stats way higher than the Romans. And don't even get me started on our record against the Lost City of Atlantis. We are still at the top of the rankings. Well, in the race for the U.S. Senate, the Republicans yesterday just took the lead over the Democrats 49-48. Now, there are three seats remaining, one in Alaska and two in Georgia. Now, in order to get control of the Senate, both parties need two more seats. Now, if you're thinking, Joel, you suck at math. No, it's because the Democrats only need 50 votes to control, as the vice president is the tie-breaking vote, and we all know it's going to be Vice President Kamala. Well, so think of this as a best of three series. First one to get to two more Senate seat wins, gets the prize. Let the games begin. Finally, yesterday, the Supreme Court heard argument in California v. Texas, which will decide whether the Affordable Care Act is actually affordable. Okay, no, they'll decide whether or not it is unconstitutional. Now, likely the law is going to survive. Now, exactly how the law survives is still somewhat uncertain. It could be the court will rule that the offending part of the law, the mandate to buy insurance, is severable from the rest of the law. So the court could strike down the mandate but keep the rest of the law intact. Or it could be that the case could be dismissed as the plaintiffs lack standing. which is judicial speak for sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Or the plaintiffs have not been injured by this law, so just go home. All right, no matter how the court gets there, most legal scholars are in agreement. Healthcare is not actually affordable, even if it's in the name. Well, that's our legal update for November 11th, 2020.
Update number 7, the end of the line.
Welcome to Debriefing the Law Daily Update. Today is November 12th, 2020, and this is what's happening. It's Georgia on my mind for the Democrats and Republicans seeking control of the Senate. Yesterday, the GOP scored Alaska, so now the GOP has 50 senators and only needs one of the two remaining spots. All eyes turn to the Georgia Senate races to see who will maintain or take control. Considering all that is at stake in Georgia and the national attention that will be focused on Georgia, I think it is fair to say, sucks to be you, Georgia. While the rest of the nation already went back to rewatching The Office for the third time, you still have two more months of political commercials. Yeah, don't worry. The January runoff elections are right around the corner. True, they would be after Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Georgians. And as Michael Scott would say, I approve of this message. Though people are still talking about the Supreme Court argument in California v. Texas, where the fate of the Affordable Care Act rests in the hands of new Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Now, it's no secret that Amy Coney Barrett and her husband have their hands full raising 7 kids during a pandemic. So, were the other justices pandering for her vote with their vegetable references? Are the justices on some health kick? I mean, why did vegetables come up so much? Is this subtle product placement for Larry the Cucumber, Bob the Tomato, and the rest of the VeggieTales crew? Well, Chief Justice John Roberts said that striking down Obamacare is not our job. Now, if you are just a casual observer of the Supreme Court, you might be thinking, whoa, not your job. Whoa, did you not overturn the separate but equal laws in the 50s and 60s? And what about overturning this nation's laws regulating abortion? I seem to remember you doing that just last term. So since when is it not your job to strike down an unconstitutional law? Maybe what he's hinting at here is that Marbury v. Madison wasn't rightly decided after all, which should be a big blow to his fellow justice, Stephen Breyer, who was in the majority in Marbury and who still cannot work Zoom. Hey, we've all been there, Justice Breyer. Well, that is our update for November 12th, 2020. Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. We need your love to help us continue highlighting the funnier side of the law. I want to give a special shout out to our Vice President of Operations, Wendy Oster, without whom this entire operation would be a mess. Brooke Boland, our new marketing person who is making us known in ways that we have never been known before. Thank you, Brooke. And Sean Wynn and 15.5 Features for making me sound way better than I actually do. Yeah, if you met me in real life, you'd say, Joel, are you sure that's you? It doesn't sound like you, and you know what? It also doesn't look like you. Brooke and Sean are doing great work. And then finally, Ryan Kuhn and Paul Kuhn of Triplicity Marketing for our technical and computer support.